You know, as we read the Christmas stories, it makes me think of stories in general. And, you know, there are a lot of stories around about how the world is upside down and not what we expect. You know, Dorothy thought she was in the Land of Oz, right? But really, it turns out she's seeing Kansas in a whole new way. Alice goes down the rabbit hole. You're a little more modern, you know, Morpheus offers Neo a chance to see how the world really is. But Luke provides a whole different kind of a thing. Luke has a whole different way of showing God's affront to reality. Right? You know, on the one hand, there's Caesar. And Caesar, who's the Roman emperor, you know, he's the son of the divine Julius. And he appears, you know, in full power, in full purpose. And his interpretation of the world will impact all of his subjects' future. He utters a decree and everything starts to change, right? He utters a decree and the whole world starts to act differently. They all start going to their homes, the places of their birth, so they can be counted and taxed. Okay? Caesar is the center of the known world. His proclamation is everybody's biggest news. But Caesar is not in charge as much as people think. Because there's this son, the son of an unknown peasant couple, the son who gave up his power to save the world and to really change everything. The pen is, well, Mario read the scripture already. I want to reread it. This story is worth reading over and over. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, if you'd like to follow along with me. It's page 1014 of the Pew Bibles. See, and we start talking about Caesar Augustus and his impact on the world. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Caesar wanted everyone in his empire counted and taxed, and so they were. As I already mentioned, this is the big news. If there had been newspapers, the census would have been the headlines on all the newspapers. Right? If there had been an internet, the census would have been all over Facebook, all over Twitter. Everybody would have been talking about it. In the middle of all that, people may have been wondering, when will God finally act? When will God finally save his people? When is God going to send the Messiah? And why is God not doing anything? But we learned that God was acting. See, he used the turmoil and the struggle of the census to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem for Jesus' birth. But think about this for a minute. What God was doing was not in the news. If there had been newspapers, Jesus' birth probably would not have even made it to the announcement page. If Mary and Joseph had had Facebook, they probably would have had no friends to share it with. Certainly, God works in the big things, okay? He ordains the rulers. He ordains authorities. I mean, everything happens because God sustains it all. But when God changed the world, he worked in a quiet but very powerful way. God still works very quietly and very powerfully. When we don't hear God, when we don't see God, many times is when he's working the most in our lives. We just don't know it. See, God doesn't need the headlines. He's much more powerful than that. You are probably waiting for God for something. You're probably waiting. And God probably seems late to you. He also probably seems too quiet. But you want to know something else? He's probably already at work on what it is you're praying for. See, he holds you close. He cares deeply for you. And he does what is right for you always. Always. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, there's a deeper side to that Emmanuel. It's not just that he's beside us. It's that he's one of us. He's born a human. Fully human. He cares deeply for you. He knows what it means to live the life you live. And he knows what it means to wait. And he does what is right always. Always, always he does what is right. He does what is best. And you know, in this story, we're looking at two kings, right? Caesar and Jesus. One's making all the headlines, the other one isn't making any headlines. Caesar exudes all the power in this story. Caesar talks, everybody jumps. The other king, Jesus, exudes love in the story. He's born one of us. He empties himself and becomes human. Born in humble means to a humble family. So which one had more impact on the world? The one who exuded power or the one who exuded love? As our Advent devotional said, as Valerie read, real power is in God's love. I have a hard time believing that Caesar was doing what he did out of love for his people. I think he did what he did because he wanted money. He wanted to know how big his kingdom was. He wanted to make sure he taxed everybody. Jesus is the humble one who loves, and he's the one who changed the world. And there's a lesson there. See, Caesar is all about power and control. And Jesus is all about love and sacrifice. And the world is changed because of the love and sacrifice. How many people name their children Caesar? Right? Children name their dogs Caesar. Right? Or their dog food. Children name their salads Caesar. Right? Mary and Joseph, people don't name their children Jesus. This, it seems a little disrespectful, but Mary and Joseph are still popular names. Right? Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. He's the one who makes all things new. You know, there is no place in the Bible where we are given control and power over others. No place. We are not given control and power over others. Headship is not about control and power. Authority is not about control and power. Leadership is not about control and power. When we seek control and power, we are not seeking Christ, we're seeking Caesar. Our way has to be the way of love and sacrifice. In humility, we serve. People who are in charge have decisions to make. There's discipline to administer. But those who are in charge have to make their decisions humbly and sacrificially and in love. We discipline out of love and humility, not just to punish, not just to make ourselves feel better. We seek the best for others, not for ourselves. Leadership is not about what we receive, but about what we give. And you know, one of the things I have watched, people who seek power and control never are able to maintain it. They lose it. Because eventually people will quit listening. But people who seek to lead lovingly and sacrificially, humbly, God gives them something much bigger than control and power. See, when we lead biblically, when we lead in order to help others, God grants us influence. Influence is infinitely stronger than power and control. Influence is that boss who became a mentor. Influence is that woman that you go back to and talk to, not because you have to, but because you want her advice. Influence is infinitely greater than power and control. How many people saw the movie Monsters Incorporated? I mean, that's a classic if there ever was one, right? Okay. In the movie Monsters Incorporated, the monsters learn that laughs are 10 times more powerful than screams, right? Isn't that, it's been a long time, so I think I said it right. Laughter is 10 times more powerful than screams. Well, influence is at least 10 times more powerful than control and power. It's at least 10 times stronger. So we need to be like Christ, seeking to help people, humbly, sacrificially serving people. And we need to remember that God is with us. He is at work. In the darkest hour, when it seems like God isn't there, He is at work. Please stand. We're going to close in prayer. Lord God, give us eyes to see you at work. Give us eyes to see you at work in the lives of those people around us, in our parents, in our children, in our brothers and sisters, in our friends, in our coworkers. Give us eyes to see you even when the world does not. Give us eyes to see the value that you have placed on us and how you are growing us and changing us. Give us eyes to see the value that you have placed on others. Help us to see the potential in others as you work in them. And Lord, by your Spirit, make us humble. Make us sacrificial, loving people. Make us people of influence in your precious name. And Lord, encourage us. Encourage us and strengthen us to do your work by word, by deed, in your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.